Hello, you're listening to a Zen Studies Society podcast. To learn more about our community of Zen Buddhist practitioners, please visit zenstudies.org.
Movement record. Case 76.
Tonkas. Have you eaten? Engel's introduction. Fine as rice flour, cold as ice and frost. It fills the universe. It is beyond light and darkness. Its depths cannot be fathomed. Its summit is beyond reach. Holding fast and letting go are right here. Is there a way out? Main subject. A monk came to Tanka, who asked, "Where are you from?" The monk replied, "From the foot of the mountain." Tanka asked him, "Have you eaten yet?" The monk said, "Yes, I have." Tanka said, "Did the person who brought you food have eyes to see?" The monk could not reply. Later, Choke said to Hofuku, "Giving food is a way of requiting the Dharma gifts one has received. How could he have failed to see?" Hofuku replied, "Both giver and receiver were blind." Choke asked, "If they exhausted their activity, would they still be blind?" Hofuku said, "Are you calling me blind?" Secho's verse. Exhausting activity. Not being blind, holding down the ox's head to make it eat grass. The 28 Indian ancestors, the 6 Chinese ancestors, their precious vessel, when brought forth, becomes a serious mistake in the heavens and on land. They sink alike into oblivion. Isn't this fun?
Hi.
If you're not having fun yet, just wait a few minutes. Today, is July 28th, I think. I know it's the second full day of our summer session. This summer of global conflagration. It's been the hottest July on record. Fires to the north of us, flooding to the south and in our own area. Everywhere we see the effects of causes and conditions. Our interconnected hardship requiring our interconnected resolve . We cannot be half-hearted. Remember, some of you, what Master Hakuin said on the seventh night in his Rohatsu exhortations about all our ancestors transmigrating through the six realms. Said, suppose you were to count them all, life after life, there would be thousands, 10,000s, and even more of them. They await your enlightenment as keenly as they would await a small rain cloud on the distant horizon during a drought. As we chant in our meal verses, having finished the midday meal, extending over the 10 directions through the 3 periods of time, the entire planet, the 6 realms, and with our awakening, the real form of the universe is revealed. Indra's net at every intersection, a faceted jewel reflecting all of the other jewels. This is Seshin. We are Indra's net. We feel these reflected lights from each other. Well, today we meet quite a character, Tanka Tenin, Tenin, E, N, N, E, Tenin. Then he lived from 739 to 824 in China, and he was the disciple of the great Baso Doitsu Zenji. But he received Dharma transmission from Sekito Kisen in Keizon Jokin's record of the transmission of the light. We learn that as a young monk, Tanka had a burning question. What is the one phrase that all the sages have passed down from the beginning? Fuyo, his Dharma friend, responded, "Were you to reduce it to a single phrase, you would really bury the tradition of our line." At that, Tanka had a great awakening. And Keizon, who gave us this exchange, commented, "When seeing, hearing, cognition, and comprehension utterly cease, and skin, flesh, bones, and marrow are all gone, then what traces of anything can remain? If you do not create even a smidgen of evidence, sure enough, it will come to appear. It is not something that others will know about, which is why it is not something that is passed on openly. When it is realized, it is spoken of as heart transmitting heart, heart mind to heart mind transmission, absolute intimacy." Having decided to become a monk around the age of 20, Tanka went to Baso Doitsu's monastery. But Baso looked at him and told him, "I am not your teacher. Go to Sekito's place." This is a very important thing for all of us to realize. This in-nen, heart-mind connection between teacher and student, is crucial. The time was not yet ripe for Tanka to be Baso's disciple. he went to Sekito's place, and he worked in the monastery kitchen, being Tenzo, for 3 years. Eventually, he was named Sekito's Dharma heir. But I have to tell you a couple of stories about Tanka. So get ready. One day, Sekito said to the monks, "Tomorrow, in our samu, we will clear the weeds in front of the Buddha hall." So everyone assembled, each carrying a hoe, except for Tanka, who carried a bowl filled with water. He dumped it over his head and did a prostration before Sekito, who laughed, and then shaved his head. As Sekito began to recite the precepts of ordination, Tanka covered his ears and went out and down the road, back to Basso. But instead of paying his respects, he went into the monks' hall, and there was a sizable statue of Manjushri there. Tanka climbed on the statue and sat astride the neck of Manjushri. The other monks were astounded, outraged, and reported this to Basso, who went into the hall, looked at Tanka sitting there, and said, "You are a natural, my son. A natural." Tanka got down, did a prostration, and said, "Thank you, Master, for giving me my Dharma name." From then on, he was called Tennen, Mr. Natural. And then there is a famous story about him after Basso's passing, and he was on pilgrimage. And he was staying at a temple called Eirinji. It was very cold. How many of you know this story? Huh? So famous that Sengai did a picture of it. Let's see if I can grab this. Huh? Yeah, you remember? Okay. So cold. So what would you do? He went over to the altar and took a wooden Buddha figure and put it into the fire in the hearth and warmed himself in front of it. The monastery director was outraged. "Why did you do this terrible thing?" he asked. Tanka said, "I wanted to collect the sarira, the sacred relics left after cremation, from the Buddha's ashes." So, of course, he has to burn the Buddha and get warm. And then How can you get sarira from a statue? The director asked him. Tanka retorted, oh, if statues don't possess sarira, then please hand me another one. The night is very cold. So I have a picture. Sengai. I don't know. It's probably not easy to see. He has a picture. Tanka burning the Buddha image. And a verse. The hip is warm now. The hard ice is melting. Here is the Buddha. Hotoke. Hotoke. Which can mean Buddha. Hotoke. Or as a verb, to release. To free oneself from bondage. So what's wrong? Buddha is burning Buddha. What could be more natural? Right? Mr. Natural. Free from attachment to ideas of the sacred. Just offering freely. Edo Roshi had a word that he loved, combust. He would say to us, combust completely. And here we have Tanka combusting all such concepts, sacred, secular. And we yesterday experienced a tiny bit of that melting on the cushion, huh? Or the chair. Melt! What? You still are here? Hotoke. So we're looking into this case 76 with Tanka. Case 76 of the Hekigan Roku, the Blue Cliff Record. And I just wanted to offer a few words about this collection. You may have noticed in the dedication today that there were quite a few names. Who did we have? We had Tanka. Of course, Rinzai, we had Choke and Hofuku, and of course, with all the cases of the Blue Cliff Record, Secho and Engel. So about this collection, Blue Cliff Record, 100 cases, Selected by Secho Juken, who lived from 980 to 1052, and with his verses, and with introductions or pointers, and comments and critical appraisals by Engo Kokugon. 1060 to 1135. So just a little bit after Secho's time. I think that was it, right? As far as new names? Yeah. Secho's verses capture the spirit that flows within and between the words of each koan. He's not at all interested in spelling out explanations or appealing to our logical understanding. So his verses first came out as a printed volume called Verses of Appraisal of the Ancients. And it was very popular. People loved it, Engo included. And so Engo Kokugon brought out a collaborative collection called Hekigon Roku, the Blue Cliff Record, incorporating Secho's verses and the koans to which he wrote those verses. And then what happened? Since we are on this topic of combustion, does anybody remember what happened to the Hekigon Roku? Yes, you do? Sounds like it. After Engo brought it out, his successor, this may later we will have to talk about Rinzai's successor in this regard. His successor was Dae Soko. Dae threw the printing blocks of the Blue Cliff Record into the fire. So what has been handed down is based on handwritten copies that were made and the remains of those woodblocks that someone managed to retrieve from the fire. Combustion. So why did Dae do that? Why do you suppose?
They were being worshipped.
They were being worshipped, like the Buddha on the altar. Too much attachment to those cases, those verses, the beauty of expression he feared would keep people from directly experiencing for themselves, or directly experiencing from directly experiencing for themselves what each case offered. And of course, attachment to the words of others is a very common situation. We have so many books, and we're so attached to them all. Oh, Rinzai. Yeah. What did he say? Burn it up! No, not yet. First, he said, constantly seeking something outside, you don't believe what you already are. You quote worn out sayings from ancient worthies. You lean on yin and cling to yang, unable to achieve anything by yourself. And then he ends that section. Followers of the way, don't accept this mountain monk's teaching. Why? my statements have no foundation. They are like pictures temporarily drawn on the empty sky, like painted figures. We don't believe what we already are. Even though everybody has memorized sentient beings are fundamentally why don't we believe what we already are? What do we believe? Not good enough. What else?
We need more time.
Another kalpa. Yeah, we will never make it. These feelings are so prevalent. And if you think, oh, that's not the way I believe. I believe that I am a Buddha. Okay. Let's see you combust. So what do we do with these cases? Can't attach. Can't make them be something that we can hold on to. What can we do? What do you think? Use them as guides. Erase them. Experience them. This is what we can do. Pour ourselves into them. Become intimate. This is what we mean by entangling our eyebrows with the ancients. Not even a trace, tenth of an inch's difference in heaven and earth are set apart. No! Become. Same as combust. And then what? Then no belief is necessary because we realize that what they, quote unquote, are saying is, in fact, what our own hearts are saying. This is true transmission. Rinzai, another quote from this ancient man of old who told us, don't take it from me. He said, this is a very important quote, but I can't find it. Maybe Nikku has memorized it. Let me see. There is only the person who, not relying on anyone, this is what I'm looking for. The person who is not relying, here we go, on anyone listens to the Dharma. She is the mother of the Buddhas. This person, not relying on anyone, is the mother of the Buddhas. Therefore, Buddhas are born from non-reliance. If you truly awaken to that non-reliance, you will discover that Buddhahood is nothing special to attain. Insight such as this is genuine insight. And then thinking about that wooden statue and that figure of Manjushri, that Tanka road. You students do not understand this because you stick to names and phrases and are perturbed by such words as secular and sacred. Consequently, this blinds your eye to the way, and you cannot see. Engo, getting back, Engo Kokugon starts his introduction. Fine as rice flour. This phrase is from another great meeting. Another pair of great masters. One day, Isan Reu told his students, meet me outside of sound and form. Doesn't that make the hair stand up if you have any? Meet me outside of sound and form. And his Dharma heir, Kyozan Ejaku, with whom he founded the Igyo school, esoteric Zen school, responded with the saying, see with what doesn't see. Meet me outside of sound and form. See with what doesn't see. And Isan replied, fine as rice flour. Did you get that? We just made a little circle. We came back to Engo's introduction. Fine as rice flour. That's what he starts with. Each of us, without exception, has this minutely subtle nature beyond sound and form, so fine. And Engel continues, cold as ice and frost, beyond degree. How cold is it? How hot is it? Beyond purity of this. rice flour. Ice. Frost. Then he says, it fills the universe. It is beyond light and darkness. Its depths cannot be fathomed. Its summit is beyond reach. So you might think, well, that's all very well and good. How am I supposed to get into this thing? Holding fast and letting go are right here. And then he ends this introduction. Is there a way out? You may be thinking, is there a way in? The way in is the way out, always. So how do we come to know this fathomless depth, summit beyond reach, this great way? We heard today in the Diamond Sutra, all bodhisattvas, lesser and great, should develop a pure, lucid mind, not depending on sound, flavor, touch, odor, or any quality. A bodhisattva should develop a mind that alights on nothing whatsoever. Holding fast, letting go every moment. This is happening. Kyozans, see with what doesn't see. Exactly this holding fast. And Isan, fine as rice flour. Letting go, giving it all away. And I was thinking about this case. In a way, you know, we could say it's a seeing eye. All these references, a seeing eye. You know, seeing eye dog, right? Seeing eye dog is for someone who cannot see. In Zen, there are quite a few references to blindness. I've already seen in this case. Most common, of course, is ignorance, lost in the darkness of ignorance. We're familiar with that one. And then, of course, this physical condition for which the seeing eye dogs are trained. As with Genpo Yamamoto Roshi, of whom we heard yesterday, Son Roshi's teacher. Genpo Roshi was nearly blind, physically blind, and he could see into the depths. He could fathom the depths of everything. Ever came before him. And this extraordinary power of discernment, born of his great realization, was even able to help the emperor find a way to surrender, to end World War II. I will read you from the introduction, Endless Vow. In April 1945, the Prime Minister, General Kantaro Suzuki, was searching for a way to end the war. Genpo Roshi was really famous in Japan, not just in Zen circles. So this general asked Genpo Roshi for his advice in a secret meeting in Tokyo. Genpo Roshi encouraged him to pursue the path of surrender and to accept the reality of defeat. He said, "We must endure what is hard to endure and persevere in that which is hard to persevere." Those very words were used in the emperor's radio broadcast announcing the unconditional surrender of Japan at 12 noon on August 15, 1945. This is true seeing. Soen Roshi, Genpo Roshi's Dharma heir, had quite a bit to say about blindness and seeing. First of all, he spoke about Bankei. You know Bankei, right? Remember him? Bankei. During the Edo period in Japan, before Hakuin's time, there lived another great and wonderful Zen master named Bankei. At the same time, there lived a blind man who, because of his blindness, possessed very keen and very deep intuitions. As you know, although a blind man's physical eye is blind, his spiritual eye may be extremely clear. So this blind man once said, "When I hear people talking to each other, hear somebody praising his friend saying, 'Oh, I'm so happy for you,' I usually detect in the deep corners of their minds some trace of envy. Or when I hear someone consoling someone else saying, 'I'm so sorry for you,' I hear mingled with this the trace of a glad or happy feeling. When I hear people talking to each other, I hear that their expression is not transparent. The words are all right, but the feeling behind them is impure, mixed with jealousy, bad will, etc. But when I listen to Bankei, I hear only pure, transparent feeling." And Soen Roshi said, "This is why we must train, train, train. Make our everyday life just like Sesshin, in order to achieve this transparent condition in our everyday life, this precious everyday life." Let us keep this condition of mind while eating, sleeping, throughout our changing lives. This mind, the minute we become careless, you all know this, right? The minute we become careless, it is spoiled and destroyed. Our present bodhisattva mind is like a newborn baby. So we must be careful and mindful with it. And you know, before he was about to die, Rinzai, this I have to read for you. When the master was about to pass away, he sat regally . You may pass away any moment, so sitting regally is really, really important. While we are here, let us each experience this, sitting regally, even for 30 seconds, okay? Just while I am moving this, sit in Zazen posture. You can face this way. That part I don't mind. He sat regally and said, "After my departure, don't ever extinguish the treasury of my true Dharma eye." Sancho came forward and said, "Who dares extinguish the treasury of your true Dharma eye?" The master asked, "In the future, if someone asks you, what will you say?" Sancho shouted. The master said, "Who would ever have thought that the treasury of my true Dharma eye would be extinguished upon reaching such a blind ass?" Having said these words while sitting regally, the master shed his body. Too many books. So, Soen Roshi, commenting on this, said, "There are four or five kinds of blindness. There's physical blindness, there is mental blindness. Most people are mentally blind. Blind, that is, in their thinking. For example, they believe that life and death are different. That self and other are different. When they realize the true oneness of this universe, this mental blindness will cease." And he goes on with a few other examples. "I myself am blind in the sense that I know I don't know anything. For example, take this cup. We all think this is a cup. But is this a cup, really? As human beings, we name things. Cup, book, arm, etc. But to tell you the truth, what something really is unthinkable, untouchable, ungraspable. We think this three or four dimension world is the whole world, but it is really only a very little part of the whole. This world, so wonderful, so unthinkable and ungraspable. Bodhidharma said, I don't know. This is true blindness, super blindness. This is the meaning of blind ass, as Rinzai applies it to his successor, Sancho. In using this expression, Rinzai is bestowing the highest possible praise on his successor. And so, smiling, he passed away. His true dharma completely extinguished by his successor, combusted. Oh, I spent so much time reading the sayings of these old worthies that my time is almost up. We have to go to the main subject, right? Here comes this monk, and here comes the question. The question of Zen, which is? Not yet. First question. Yeah. So many koans point to this first thing. Where have you come from? Another way to put it might be, what is your original face? And how about you? Somebody asks you, where do you come from? What do you say? Oh, she says, not Earth. New Jersey, and also not Earth. Remember what Tozan's 60 blows, the 15th case of the gateless barrier, was about? Same kind of thing. Tozan came to Umon, who asked, where are you from? And Tozan very pragmatically said, from New Jersey. He said, from Sato, but same thing. And where were you during the summer? Oh, I was south of Hozu, south of the lake. When did you leave there? On August 25th. Finally, Umon said, I spare you 60 blows. Not even worth it. The next day, Chosan returned to him and asked, "Where was I at fault?" "Oh, you rice bag! What makes you wander about now west of the river, now south of the lake?" Chosan was enlightened. But this monk who comes to Tanka, what does he say? He says, "From the foot of the mountain." Evidently, you know, he's aware that his Zen is being probed, and he's a wise guy, trying to show off at the foot of the mountain as opposed to outer space. Well, of course, everybody has to walk up the path to the temple. But he's showing his Zen. Tanka sees right through him and asks, "Have you eaten?" Which means what? Yes. Have you had a little taste of something? And the monk says, "Yes, I have." And yesterday we heard the reference to the monk who goes to Joshu. Right? "Will you teach me?" "Have you had your rice gruel?" "Yes." "Then wash your bowl. Got something still moldering around in there. Phew." So, Tanka then asks this monk after hearing, "Oh yes, I have. Did the person who brought you food have eyes to see?" What is "brought you food" referring to? What is the food? Did the person who brought you, you say you have, right? Did the person who brought you this have eyes to see? What does he mean by this? Did this person see what a piece of shit you are? And he fed you anyway? So this is really interesting, and it's why Choke and Hofuku took up this case much later. They were both heirs of Seppo. So they lived after Tanka's time, and they found this koan to be well worth investigating. Does giving depend on being worthy, the person to whom you are giving? Have you ever thought about that when you've passed someone who is begging? Or you have been asked, perhaps in an email, to support some cause that you are perhaps wondering about. Is this worthwhile? Is it worth my giving? So this is what they're asking here. Choke said to Hofuku, "Giving food is a way of requiting the Dharma gifts one has received." How could he have failed to see? This kind of discernment. Yes, this person may benefit. Maybe not in this life. That's okay. Go ahead, have some. And Then Hofuku replied, "Both giver and receiver were blind. Same kind of blindness? Giver, blind to discriminating thinking, right? Blind to, oh, you deserve my teaching, but you don't, right? Blind to the one who received, see, Hofuku said, both giver and receiver were blind, different, same. Then Choke asked, if they exhausted their activity, would they still be blind? What does exhausted their activity mean? We heard a little bit before about that. Well, you might say, if you are giving to somebody without a discriminating mind, without judging, you are just exhausting yourself, right? You are requiting the gifts you have received, all the food that you have eaten, the dharma food that you have been served again and again, lifetime after lifetime. What can you do? Keep exhausting yourself. Exhaust your, combust yourself. And then, certainly not blind. So Hofuku said with a twinkle in his eye, are you calling me blind? Are you saying that I have not exhausted myself? That I have been holding fast? That, too, is a wonderful teaching, so that the student is thrown back on herself. Here, let me give it to you. You better eat what I give you. Huh? No, that is not good, not helpful at all. So, we look at Setro's verse very quickly. Exhausting activity. Not being blind. Holding down the ox's head to make it eat grass. This is a funny thing. It goes back to a story of someone making an offering to the spirits, like at Obon. Assuming he will be doing that. And someone else, a bystander, is holding a dead ox's head and pushing it there into the grass. And the person making the offering is wanting to know, how can a dead ox eat? And the person with the dead ox's head says, how can spirits eat that offering you're holding? Yet we do it. We do it. Not a matter of how or why, just do it. This is the Bodhisattva's vow. So this ends. The 28 Indian ancestors, the 6 Chinese ancestors, their precious vessel, when brought forth, becomes a serious mistake. What can we do with this precious vessel, this treasure that has been passed down for all these generations? What's it good for? Burn it up. It's useless. To think otherwise is to make a great mistake. Oh, I better find that page number. Useless. Find out for yourself. And therefore, this ends. In the heavens and on land, they sink alike into oblivion, into the great death. Daiyo Kokushi in the last part of his poem on Zen said, wishing to entice the blind, the Buddha has playfully let words escape his golden mouth. Heaven and earth are ever since filled with entangling briars. Oh, my good, worthy friends gathered here, if you desire to listen to the thunderous voice of the Dharma, exhaust your words, empty your thoughts, for then you may come to recognize this one essence. Exactly 1 week ago, Bhugan's father passed away. And after our Doksan this morning, I asked him to give a talk. So tomorrow morning at 10:15, instead of Doksan, we will have Dharma talk by Bhugan. And our last Doksan will be tomorrow afternoon.
This has been a Zen Study Society podcast. If you found it to be of interest, please consider making a donation by visiting zenstudies.org/donate. Thank you for listening.